foundational tools to develop a biblical worldview. Welcome to Mentoring Matters, a listener-supported program of SharonHearts.org. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth in order to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview.
Hi, this is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzlaff.
And Janie, I want to talk about applying the scriptures today.
Okay.
So in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 15, it says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So this is really a command to grow up, right?
It sounds like it.
Okay. All right. So how do we grow up in Christ?
Well, you first of all said we need to grow up in knowing a person.
Okay. In Christ.
In Christ.
Okay.
All right. That's a position that we have. And then Paul had quite a ministry in explaining what it meant to be in Christ.
Well, and then it's a position, right?
Yes, but now stop and just put your logical, everyday thinking on. He says that we're in Christ. We believe that there is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And that Spirit lives inside of us. That Spirit is not a little ghost. That Spirit is a real, live person.
Okay.
Now, start to just stop and think. Then the Lord says, God is Spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and truth.
Okay.
Now, we grow up by just having the Spirit start to teach us how He lives inside this vessel, and that I can never be alone when a real person is with me.
Right.
I can feel alone, but I daily wake up with, Holy Spirit, you're real. You live within me. I, at this age, still can't figure it out practically. But you then told me to grow up by trusting you, not trying to figure it out, and that you would make your presence known. And then I can say, okay, Lord, your presence I accept by faith. Wake me up joyfully. And then there's something inside of me that would love to stay in bed until 10 or 11. But the joy of the Lord puts an energy within to get about the day's activity. Now, I'm not saying
so that's taking on responsibility for not just the spiritual things, but also for the physical things.
Yes, okay. Yes. And is that not the way we tell our children to grow up?
Okay,
I mean, you take them from pablum to junior food.
Right.
You won't let a 3-year-old do what you would let an 8-year-old do, and you won't let an 8-year-old do what a 15-year-old could do.
Right.
So there's new
new responsibilities.
Yes.
As they grow.
And then the joy of the Lord is your strength. So when you focus on knowing the joy of the Lord, there is a supernatural strength that I still can't tell you mechanically how it works. But I know that there is a molecule in our DNA. It's got the name of joy on it. I can't give you the code, but I certainly can tell you the response. Now, practically, if every one of us, whether you have a nice soprano or bass or tenor or whatever your voice, or if you can't sing, but you can even say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. When you repeat that, your brain says, yes, I agree. Your heart says, yes, absolutely. And that gut brain says, yes. And now you've got all three of your brains working as one.
And that brings peace.
And that brings peace that passes understanding. So that when you get up and think, oh, but I've still got these aches and pains, or I've got an impossible deadline, you can start to move. But rather than moving in anxious anxiety, you can move with a quiet steadfast.
Okay.
This is the next thing I need to do. I'm not going to try to figure out the next three things to do. I'm going to take one thing at a time.
Right.
And then we've talked about this for ages. Then you develop divine, godly habits.
Oh.
You do it.
So habits.
Habits. Habits.
Some bad habits.
There's some bad habits when you let your...
Your get up and go, got up and went.
Yeah. Yeah. To the chocolate. Okay. So really it is, and I don't want to push the power of positive thinking, because that's trying to fix things with my own logic and reason. And we've been trying to fix things with our own logic and reasoning for at least 6,000 years of recorded history that we know about, and we have never got that.
That's because man can't fix
man.
Man.
Yes. But we have to, I shouldn't say we have to, but we choose to fail so many times before we recognize this is a failure and the Word of God has already given me a solution. So let's go to the solutions.
Right.
Okay?
Okay, well, then if I keep reading on in 2 Timothy verses 16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yes. Now, Sharon, just read those qualifications to get to that every good work. Just go back and read the description.
Oh, you mean for doctrine?
Yeah.
For reproof?
Okay.
For instruction?
Okay.
And for correction?
Okay. Now, how quickly do we want to get under that?
Yeah, reproof, that sounds terrible. Correction, oh my goodness, that hurts.
Yeah. God of creation and how he's formulated us has to be working constantly in the way he designed us. And we have a natural tendency, because our flesh, the old nature, to buck anything positive that is given to us so that we can be ready for every good work.
Oh, my goodness, Janie. Well, this stuff doesn't sound positive, though. It doesn't sound positive to be reproofed.
And you know what? Neither did your son think it was positive when you reproved him. And your daughter just had a conniption fit when you tried to tell her what was best.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Need we say more?
Exactly.
The flesh will always buck us. And then here is the true warning, Sharon. When we choose to not listen to what is written, we open up ourselves, our body, our soul, and spirit to allow the enemy to just put one little tweak of his lies and destruction. One little tweak, and now we have already given him permission to hold us because we chose to listen to his way and not the Creator God Almighty's way. And we don't realize, that doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt. Just one little time. Okay, God, it'll be all right. I'll say I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. And then eventually we become calloused.
Yes, yes. And without being too diverse, that's how disease begins. One little infection and doesn't cause us any pain. We're not even aware of it.
Mm.
Then we start to get a little temperature and body doesn't work quite like it was, and we're feeling a little sluggish. And the next thing we know is we better go to the doctor, thinking the doctor will just give us something easy, a pill, and we'll be fine. And he says, no, you have second-stage cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And we have to recognize anything not according to Scripture is from the enemy, and the enemy only has one goal, to destroy.
Well, and Janie, that just reminded me of the deception that he did in the Garden of Eden was the same deception that he does today. He twists the Scriptures just a little bit. And if we accept it and begin to live it, and then even if we don't stand in a place of authority to teach it, we do teach it by our testimony, by the life we live before our children, before our friends, our family, those that don't know the Lord. They're all brought into that kind of mindset.
And then the enemy says, you're a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
You're two-faced. Why would I want to have anything to do with you or your God?
Right.
You see, he is so subtle to tear down what Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Trinity, chose to do when they asked Jesus Christ to come to earth and die because he was qualified to take on the guilt of what we can't fix. And in Corinthians, after we have people who do know the Lord, then they don't automatically just turn into some sweet little cherub that just wants to serve the Lord. So Paul has to say, I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that becomes impossible for us to do apart from the Spirit carrying us, and that for him to carry us into the impossible, we have to be knowing him and trusting him.
So in growing up in the Lord, in the scriptures, it's really just about coming to know Jesus Christ.
Yes. 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 In fact, you just summarized probably our whole lesson today. To walk in the way we were created for the purpose that we were created is to have a relationship with the God of creation that created us for his purpose. We cannot know about him. We have to know him in the person of who he is. I would hate to have married my husband and always known about him rather than to have known him.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. We can never be satisfied with knowing about the King of Kings and the Great Shepherd. We have to know him.
And that's why mentoring matters. Mentoring Matters is a listener-supported discipleship program of Sharon Hart's ministry. Join a community seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. With resource materials available for the journey at sharonhearts.org. That's SHARIN hearts.org.